Good morning.
Good morning.
There you go. All right. If you would, please take out with me your outlines for today's message and also turn in your Bibles. We've got a couple places to turn to. First, we're going to be looking at Matthew 5, 6 as we continue on with our series of looking at the Beatitudes. Shout it out there. All right. And then also turn your Bibles to John 4, and we're going to be reading verses 13 and 14, and then John 6, verse 35. So not a lot of verses, but you got to be ready to get there. So while you're doing that, getting your Bibles open up in different places, I don't know how many of you know this, but Richard and his wife, Tiffany, like to golf. I don't know if they knew that, but they like to golf. One day they're out golfing. Tiffany hits a straight shot all the way down the fairway, lands this far away from the green. Richard goes way off to the right, into the woods, can't find his ball. Looking and looking, finally he tells Tiffany, he said, "You guys go ahead and hit your shot. I'll look for my ball. If I can't find it, I'll go back to the tee off like I'm supposed to and tee off from there and go start over." So she goes off, and just as she's getting ready to hit her shot, Richard hollers out, "I found it!" And he hits the ball, and he comes in, lands exactly where Tiffany is. However, Tiffany now has a dilemma. She now has to ask herself if she wants to take and confront Richard, because obviously he's not telling the truth, because she has his ball in her pocket. All right, if you would, please stand with me as we read today's God's word for us today. Matthew 5, verse 6. Blessed are those who what? Hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. And then John 4, verses 13 and 14. Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." And then John 6, 35. Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we just thank you for this day that you've given to us. We thank you for the blessings of this worship service, just the way you've moved amongst us and in our hearts already. And now as we hear your word, your message for us today, we ask you once again to open our eyes, our ears, and especially our hearts, open to what you have for us today. And we pray this in your loving name. Amen. Amen. Now, while you're standing up, shake out the jitters. You okay? Shake them out. Now you can sit down. As I've shared with you, Lori and I like to go to movies. We especially like, I think maybe a little bit more me, we especially like true stories, especially history stuff. Okay, that part is more me, okay? As far as when we're home, what we like to watch, I shared with you, we like Dateline and 48 Hours. And in watching these shows and listening to Lori, there's two things I've learned. If you have done something wrong, or even if you haven't done something wrong, and the police come to question you, you say nothing. Okay? And if you've done something wrong, or if you're going to do something wrong, don't leave your fingerprints or DNA. Okay? Because we all have different fingerprints. We also all have different DNA. Did you know that you also have different ear prints? A missionary friend of mine that was down in South America at one time was actually being threatened by the Colombian drug lords. So what they did, they actually took his ear prints, because when they were killing the missionaries at that time, they would cut off their hands, okay, and then they would also, I'm not trying to be rude, cut off the heads, do things, but that's how they would identify the person, is through their ear prints. Each person has a different ear print. So just something for you to know about there, okay? Now, we all know that we all have different DNA. Okay? At one time, it was thought that even identical twins had the same DNA. I learned that from Dateline. Okay? However, now with advanced DNA testing, they can now tell, even though some twins have 99% the same DNA, they can now break that down to tell which twin now is different, or they're both different, but which one is which. Now you say, is this a, you know, science lesson? No. We are all different, but we all have some similarities. We all have our own uniqueness, but we have a lot of things that we are in common. One of those things is we all get hungry and we all get thirsty. Some of us get hungry a little bit more often than others. Some of us, you know, we may get thirsty often. The point is, no matter when it is that we ate last, there's going to be a time when we're going to get hungry again. Whenever we had that last glass of cold lemonade to take care of our thirst, and for me, lemonade just often makes me more thirsty, we're going to get thirsty again. Okay? It's going to happen. Although we are each different, we all have uniqueness, or we all have some similarities, and that's one thing. We're all going to get thirsty, we're all going to get hungry. And the same is true spiritually. No matter who we are or what we think we're searching for, we all get thirsty and hungry spiritually, even if we don't realize it. Our Creator, our Lord God, has created us to have that desire, to seek Him out spiritually. Whether we do it or whether we don't, we have something within inside of us, a desire to be fulfilled somehow spiritually. Some people go off on, way off in whatever field you want to call it. They go the wrong way. Some people come to God, but somehow people search out to fill themselves spiritually. Did anybody see the movie Jesus Revolution when it was out? Or since on DVD or whatever? If you remember that 70s hippie guy talking with the pastor, remember that scene? He said they were all trying to do what? Trying to fulfill themselves spiritually, is what he was saying. And they thought, especially with the LSD part of the drugs, that they were going to get absolute truth in their visions and stuff like that. So they were trying this, they were trying that. It was all trying to take and fulfill themselves spiritually, is what he was saying. Okay? And so we see it still today. People seeking, somehow seeking something out to fulfill themselves spiritually. Not just in drugs or something like that, but in alternative lifestyles or whatever. People confused about who they are. And it's sad what's taking place. It can be easy to get angry at certain things, but it's also sad about what's taking place. The misunderstanding that people have about themselves and who God created them to be, and then trying to change themselves. Because they don't understand. They're actually trying to fulfill something that they're not understanding. Jesus says in our Beatitudes today that we will be filled, that we will be satisfied in our search for pure spiritual truth when we hunger for what? Righteousness. God's righteousness through His Son, Jesus Christ. Not our own definition of righteousness. It's Christ's definition of righteousness. We could also look at this as saying, how much do you want righteousness? How much do we want righteousness in our life? Are we hungering for it? Like when we get hungry for food. Are we thirsting for it? Like when we get thirsty for water. So what happens when we get hungry for food? Right. Our stomach starts to make noises. My stomach, according to my wife, makes noises all the time. Okay? That doesn't mean I'm hungry all the time. It just means that it makes noises all the time. Okay? But we know the physical effects. And when we don't fulfill ourselves spiritually, or fill ourselves spiritually, we're going to also have those hunger pains, those thirst pains. That's going to lead us some way or another to try to fulfill those. So how does hungering and thirsting for righteousness fill us? That's our question today. How does hungering and thirsting for righteousness fill us? So today we're going to be looking at being filled by God through desire, part one. So I'm splitting it up a little bit. There's going to be 5 points. At some point I'm going to stop it for today and continue on next week. So you just got to come back next week to hear the rest of the story. All right, for our first one, how does hungering and thirsting for righteousness fill us? For number one, because of the things they suggest. Because of the things they suggest. There's 4 words that we're going to be looking at today, 4 positive words about hungering and thirsting for righteousness that we see there for our life. And the first one is that word, life. Life. You know, from a moment that a baby is conceived, it begins to thirst and hunger. Through the umbilical cord, it attaches itself to the mother to get that nourishment from the mother while still in the womb to fulfill. Now, I'm not saying, you know, it attaches itself, that's how it gets its nourishment. When the baby is born, it's still going to get hungry and thirsty. It needs somebody to take care of it, correct? Okay? That baby is alive. From the moment of conception to the moment when it's born, it's still alive. It's going to get hungry. It needs to be taken care of. The moment we are born again into God's kingdom, we begin to hunger and thirst for righteousness. The moment we are born again into God's kingdom, we begin to hunger and thirst for righteousness. Now, when we came to salvation, before we came to Christ for salvation, we had a hunger and thirst to come to him somehow, that he was leading us to come to him for salvation. After we accepted him as Lord and Savior, our personal, as we talked about in Sunday school today, our personal Lord and Savior, we go to the next step of wanting to walk with him. Discipleship, okay? Helping each other, as we're going to be talking about. But we begin to thirst for not our definition of righteousness, but whose definition, as we just said? Christ's definition, God's definition of righteousness. 1 Peter 2:2 says this, like newborn babies crave spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in, it's up there for us, your salvation. Like newborn babies crave spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now, in West Texas, where we've been for the last 3 years or whatever before we came here, there are a lot of mesquite trees. Okay? And mesquite trees have a unique rooting system. First, they have their top roots that spread out. I mean, when they spread out all over the place. Okay? And they'll tear up the grass and just destroy anything around it. Nothing really grows except dry grass or whatever around it, or other mesquite trees. They also have a deep penetrating root tree or root to it. Sometimes those roots will penetrate at least 200 feet to get to moisture, destroying anything that's in its path. So if you got like the pipes, you know, great, those clay pipings and just different things, whatever is around it. So anything around a mesquite tree usually dies because it just sucks up the moisture so far, so bad, around the top of the soil and especially in the deepness. Anything, so the mesquite tree just takes up so much of the water. But the moment that that tree, for whatever reason, stops getting the water, not just later on, but the moment that the tree stops drinking water, it immediately begins to die. Okay? Not just, okay, well, it stores up water, okay, because it doesn't really store up water in itself. The moment that that moisture is taken away, that tree begins its death. Similarly, if we do not hunger and thirst for righteousness, we have to ask ourselves, where are we spiritually? Where are we with our walk with Christ? That doesn't mean we've lost our salvation, because I'm not saying that. But where are we in our walk if we're not hungering and thirsting for Christ in our walk? Where there is hunger, an inner yearning for more, we know that we will be filled with life from Christ. Because the more we yearn for him, the more we're going to be in his word. We're going to be talking about. The more we yearn for him, the more we're going to be reading, studying. The more we yearn for him, we're going to be in fellowship with one another. The more we yearn for him, the more we are going to walk spiritually with him. Because of the things that they suggest, the second thing there that it suggests is health. Health. A Christian who attends worship on a regular basis with other believers, who looks forward to Bible study, who has a desire to lift others up in prayer, and who offers a helping hand to those in need, has good spiritual health. Now, I've had many people, many believers, say to me, I don't have to go to church to be saved, and they are absolutely correct. I will agree with that. Okay? However, I have yet found a growing Christian who is not regularly attending worship. And there's a couple different reasons why. One, of course, that they're not getting fed spiritually. And the other part is they're not with other Christians. That is so important for us in our spiritual health, to be with others, other Christians, other family members. Let me ask you this. Any football players in high school in here? Nobody played the football? Okay, when you played football, did you practice at home alone? You were supposed to say no. But you practiced with your teammates, right? But as far as the plays, you practiced with your teammates. Basketball, any basketball players? Okay, we got... Did you guys ever play sports around here or what? Okay. When you practiced with your teammates, right? To learn the plays, to learn each other's moves and just different things. Even chess players practice with others to learn the game better. So why aren't we doing better, or many Christians doing better, as far as fellowship with one another? To strengthen us up spiritually, to be spiritually healthy. Jesus worshiped with others. We are told there how he went to the synagogues, how he went to the temple. He was with others during times of Shabbat. That's the Sabbath, by the way. Other festivals, such as celebrating Passover. It wasn't just him and his 12 disciples all the time. I mean, he went to other places to be with people, to worship with them. And that is what we need, and it's part of our spiritual health, to be growing with others. Which brings us to the next word, growth. Growth. To hunger and thirst for righteousness means to eat well spiritually. When we regularly feast on nourishment from God, we grow. When we eat too much, we grow. Okay? You can never eat too much spiritually. Okay, but you can eat not enough spiritually. And in order to grow spiritually, you have to have that hunger, that thirst. You have to build it up. You have to be hungry. You have to strive to fulfill that hunger. Paul said this, brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you are not yet ready for it. Indeed, you still are not ready. Paul wrote those words to the church in Corinth, who had a lot of problems taking place within it. And one of the reasons that they had a lot of problems was because they had become spiritually stagnant, because they didn't have that hunger that Jesus is talking about there in Matthew. The hunger for and thirst for righteousness. Enjoyment. Think for a moment of a particular food that maybe you like the best. Maybe it's Aunt Betty's apple pie at Thanksgiving or whatever. Several years ago, I would not even touch split pea soup. I used to make it at a cafe I worked in. I also knew that they use it for certain things in certain movies. Okay? I couldn't get past the look of it, let alone to try to taste it. However, my wife one day, she made it for me. By the way, we haven't had it lately. Okay? I absolutely loved it. Couldn't believe how many years I've been, you know, just turned off by the sight of it, wouldn't try it. She gets me to try it, and I absolutely love it. There's a couple others I've tried, but hers is the best. Like I said, it's time. Okay? Enjoyment. Those who hunger for righteousness enjoy feasting on God's word. Those who hunger for righteousness enjoy feasting on God's word. The more we do it, the more we're going to like it. The more we bring it in, the more we're going to enjoy it. The more we bring it in, the healthier it's going to make us. Sometimes it's going to step on our toes. But sometimes we need that in order to grow, in order to enjoy what's coming later. When a person or when a group of believers, when someone is truly doing that, they enjoy worship, prayer time, fellowship, and fellowship with other Christians. And it's just like when we try food for the first time. We have to try it and build on it. How many times have we tried something for the first time and we liked it? We're not going to talk about when we didn't like something, okay, but we wanted it more. There's a thing that they call comfort food. Why do we eat comfort food? It makes us happy, okay? It's the same thing with God's word. The more we bring it into ourselves, the happier we're going to be, the more enjoyment we're going to receive. All right, we're going to do number two. How does hungering and thirsting for righteousness fill us? Because of the lessons they teach. Because of the lessons they teach. A couple of years ago, Lori and I began to watch a TV series called Alone. Anybody ever hear of it? Okay. We found the reruns, or she found the reruns this week, so we've been watching them a little bit. Okay. But it's about the 10 people who get dropped off out in the wilderness. And they're completely alone. There's no camera crew. They got filmed themselves and everything. And these are people who are experienced somewhat in survival skills. However, this is for long term. Okay? One person went 120 days, I think it was, or something like that, living just simply out in the wilderness, completely by themselves. No contact. Plus, they got to hunt their own food, which they know how to do, but they're in a different area than what they've been in. So they have to adapt. They have to learn different things, new techniques on how to get certain food, or it's food that's not there and what they have to do to replace it. And even though they may be experienced with outdoor survival, they have to learn new things. Likewise, hungering and thirsting for righteousness can teach us many new lessons. Number one, or A, things cannot fully satisfy. Things cannot fully satisfy. Matthew 4:4, Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on what? Every word that comes from the mouth of God." Now, they say we can't have things because we can't live on those things alone. But we get the word from God's mouth. Who remembers old King Midas? Anybody remember the king? Not the Midas muffler commercial. Who remembers King Midas? Remember, he had that desire. He wanted everything he touched to turn to what? Gold. He got his wish. Everything he touched turned to gold. And he was just as happy as a clam in whatever. Okay? Until he touched what? His daughter. He thought, man, he was getting everything until he touched his daughter and she turned to gold. And he was miserable. We have to remember that things cannot satisfy us. B, God alone meets our total needs. God alone meets our total needs. Everything we have is because God has decided to allow us to have them. Even if we had to put our share of work in to get them, even if we had to save up for 100 years to get it, it's because God has allowed us to have it. Okay? Psalm 42, 1 and 2 says, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you. My God, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? In John 14, Philip asked Jesus to show them God the Father. And he echoes that longing that we see there in that psalm. God has placed within us, as I said before, a desire for him, to come to him and realize that he meets our needs. So how does hungering, as we move, continue on, how does hungering and thirsting for righteousness fill us? Come back next week and you'll get the next three.